Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. With everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford. Feeds it right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound. Score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings. And royalty reigns again in the NHL.
To Making It Rain from the Hockey Royalty Podcast. As always, I'm joined with Joe, who's wishing he could be bundled up there in the northeast in New York. How's it going there, Joe?
It's going really well. You know what? I may be in New York, but the rain out in Ontario, California are 4-0-0-1. They haven't lost in regulation, so I'm doing real well. Well. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I mean, you're wearing shorts and flip flops out there in Buffalo because the rain are hot. It's a hot rain right now.
Exactly. Not the fall rain that I'm getting out here in Western New York. That's for sure.
No, we're just coming off a nice homestand there. We're going on the road. Obviously, we play the Abbotsford Canucks and the Henderson Gold and the Silver Knights. Coming up here this week and next and during the week there, standings. Like I said, red hot. Rainer in first place, 4-0-1. Stockton Heat and Abbotsford are in second place there with 7 points, man. Phenomenal start to the season. You and I can't be more pleased. You know, what are your takes? What are your broad takeaways for the season so far in the second week since we last talked?
I really just like the overall gameplay, and I think I mentioned it before, and I had an article come out on Monday kind of breaking out some of the start to the season, and I think they're the way they're playing. They're pushing the pace. The D are jumping in play, and they're controlling the shot attempts in the games. The one exception being the last game against the Gulls, but you see this all the time, and they call it score effects, where if a team is up by multiple goals, and that game was wrapped up in the second period, if we're being honest, against San Diego, where it's almost human nature. It's not even that they just sit back. It's just the other team tends to take advantage, and they end up leading the shot attempt throughout the rest of the game. That's normal. But so I think that skews the numbers a bit. But the biggest takeaway from that standpoint is they are dominating every game in high danger chances. So they are really getting a lot of good and high quality looks than a lot more than their opponents are. That's for sure. So they're doing a really good job at both ends of the ice. It's been a fun start to the season.
You know, I think the positive for my broad takeaway has been that the fact that somebody's stepping up every game, somebody different, right? Furyk launching one timers the first game. Turcotte has a three assist game. We have Mavar with a point almost every single game. So you have guys that are stepping up on different parts of the team. And that's how deep this team is. You know, you're having
19 different guys with points, 19 different guys with points. That includes Jacob Ingham.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and we're talking about that later, but you know, he's going to my favorite ECHL team. So
that's right.
You know, but I think it's been a huge positive because you look at a team that in the Kings who is top line heavy, everybody's contributing from the rain. And that's really something that's super positive there, you know, and we'll go straight into it, man. Who's your MVP of this second week?
So I'm going to say, I just love the way. And I'm going to set aside TJ Tynan, who's looked, he's the best player on the team right now. And he is the most noticeable player. Martin Furyk is that AHL veteran who's been great. I think the best player on the ice, other than those two, and I know it's not going to show on the stat sheet, but it's Tyler Madden. I think he's playing awesome. He's somebody that often gets a little overlooked when it comes to these, you know, these highly touted Kings prospects, the Byfields, the Turcotts, the Velardis, et cetera, that Madden sometimes gets, brushed aside a little bit, even if unintentionally. I think he's played great. And I'm telling you, for the first couple of games, he played with Tynan. He's played a bit with Turcotte recently, and it just hasn't mattered. He's been really good. With a little bit more puck luck, he'd have a handful of goals. So for me, the way he's playing, I really like Tyler Madden.
I'm going to go with one of those guys that you talked about. I'm going to go with Turcotte because, you know, a lot of people have been wanting him to produce and go to a next level. And, yeah, he's not the top guy in the league, obviously. We look at TJ Tynan being that, you know, he's tied for third in the AHL in points. So, you know, good on TJ Tynan. But Turcotte's been there. I mean, he's got a three-assist game. He got a goal in another game. He's been pushing the puck constantly, centering the line. And what we look about with centers is, are they driving the line? And you can, as Turcotte is noticeable in every shift that he's on there, is because he's pushing the line forward. And I know they brought Burke up. And if you look at him now, he's tied for first on the team in goals with three. So, you know, they brought him up and that kind of shuffled up that top six. And Turcotte has been moving with that group.
Yeah. And you know what's nice too, and I'm going to give a shout to Austin Wagner, because he, you know, he spent all of the last two seasons with the Kings at the NHL level. So for him to come down and, you know, I guess you never know how a guy who's been with the NHL team for as long as he was, how they're going to react, but he's played really well from game one, and he's finally gotten rewarded for some of the opportunities he's gotten. He's got goals in back-to-back games here. So he's looked very good too.
Yeah. It's been really nice. And, I don't want to say anything bad about this team. This team has been playing really well. I mean, why talk negative when we're 4-0-1? So we're just going to sweep past that, put it underneath the rug, and let's talk more about the positives before we get into our guest here. Obviously, you guys are going to know based on the title of the episode, but, you know, Jared Shaffrin from the Ontario Reign Insider is going to be coming on later. Great interview with him, and, you know, we're super excited to have him on the podcast, but let's get some positives going before we bring a positive interview. What do you think the positive of the teams have been in this last week?
I think, and you touched on it, and I know so did Jared in his interview, it's the depth of the scoring. It's not relying on one guy or one line, and despite how dominant TJ Tynan is and whoever he plays with, he's been with Furyk exclusively, but whoever that other winger is, it hasn't mattered. That line is dominant, but they're getting scoring from up and down the lineup. You mentioned Braden Burke, who they brought in. He came over in a trade this offseason, and, you know, you didn't know what to expect from him. And he's been really good. He's just a couple of years removed from being an all-star when he was with Tucson. So he's had a really good start to the season, and just somebody else. And it's like these Kings, they have so many prospects that everybody talks about. So they're up and coming guys, but then you sprinkle in a guy like Braden Burke. And like you said, he's got three goals in the season. He's played up and down the lineup, and he's looked really good. So I just think that the overall depth of scoring, within the Reign lineup has got to be a pretty big positive.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you there, and I'm going to hit on a position group specifically based on the woes of the Kings, right? With the injuries and everything like that. You look at Clegg, Mavar, and Granz are in the top three with assists on the team. They're activating defensively. And we're hitting on that every single episode because it's important. The Kings are not doing that enough, especially with Doughty being out long-term and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to hit on that even further later on in the episode. But it's a positive for the Reign, the fact that, you know, Clegg has four assists, Mrvari has four assists, and Granz as well. And coming over here, adjusting the new ice for Granz and Mrvari last year coming in late, they're showing that they're here and they belong. And it's a small sample size, but it's good to have defensemen activating in the offensive zone.
It's funny. If there's two guys in, and you've been a huge Granz fan on this podcast, and I've been a huge Mrvari fan on this podcast. So it's kind of fun to see that they're both playing well. And you know, listen, Clegg, I feel like we almost take him for granted, and I'm happy that the Kings were able to, you know, not were able to, obviously there's injuries, but, you know, they get him back in Los Angeles because, you know, I mentioned it last week after the first week of games, he just looked so steady. He's such a steady, you could tell he's probably on another level and ready to play in the NHL, so hopefully he settles in Los Angeles. But, yeah, it's to see Granz, he looked is comfortable, and I mentioned it in the article, is comfortable in that second game with possession of the puck, just his confidence of making plays. And I had seen him in a Reign jersey, you know, dating back to camp. So it's pretty cool to see. And hopefully that continues. You know, he's a young kid, but he's going to get a shot now to play more regularly than he has been. That's for sure with guys going up. So he's got an opportunity.
Well, I mean, as much as I'd like to have summers in Sweden with you and us in shorts and in the woods, hockey's there in the winter, so you better bring your parka if we're going to go enjoy Swedish hockey like we are here in Ontario. Hey, up next, Jared Schaffern coming up, talking all things Ontario Reign. In the third part of this episode, we're going to be talking about the you know, our reactions to the podcast and what's coming up for the Reign. So stay tuned. Jared Schaffern, Ontario Reign Insider. All right. Welcome back, guys. We have our guest here, Jared Schaffern, Ontario Reign Insider. How's it going, Jared?
It's going great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. I know you're a busy man here. You know, you got your new job and everything like that. How's it going?
It's going great. Looking forward to tomorrow. We get on a flight to Abbotsford, first road trip of the season with the Reign. I was lucky enough to make a road trip to Arizona during rookie camp a few weeks ago, but this will be my first Reign road trip, so really looking forward to it.
Got your boarding pass ready, do you?
Yeah, it was not easy, let me tell you. We to go to Canada right now is definitely a challenge. So I'm thankful for everybody with the team and the organization. But, yeah, there's like an app that you have to have on your phone, and you've got to fill out. Basically felt like I was going to a doctor's appointment. You know, it was like I had to fill out all this information, and you got to upload your COVID vaccination, your passport. You have to have a negative COVID test within 72 hours of the trip. So there's a lot going into this trip for this team to get. And this is not the only trip. We'll be back in Abbotsford a second time in not that long. So it's a lot going on behind the scenes to get ready for the trip.
Well, you know, Joe and I both would need coffins for you to bring me across the border because we're that big. No suitcase is going to carry us. And, you know, I want to introduce you to Joe, Jared, you know, like we're best friends there. How are you doing,
Jared? Yeah, absolutely. And I have to throw this out there because Jared's from my neck of the woods. I'm actually in Rochester, New York, Jared.
There you go.
That's kind of where I know you're not from too far away anyways. Yeah. From out here.
From New York, not the western part of the state, yeah, but still, yeah. Still a New Yorker for sure.
I guess compared to California, though, we'll say it's close enough.
It's
I guess
way closer. Yeah.
it's a flight. Yeah, it's a flight.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to say, Jared, just kind of going back a little bit, getting into your background, just for those Reign fans that may not be totally aware, you know, mentioned you're from New York, but where did this all come from in terms of getting into the game of hockey? I know you've been involved in broadcasting for, you know, dating back years, you know, in college and such. So how did it all start with hockey?
Yeah, it's funny, like, it really, I mean, I was a big hockey fan as a kid growing up. I never really played the game at a competitive level. I actually played inline hockey, which is funny because that's popular in California.
Figure.
But in my hometown in New York, and it's kind of when I grew up, I didn't really think much about this. But now that I've lived all over the country, it was crazy. there were actually three inline roller rinks in my town, which is not that big of a town of Monroe, New York. There were three inline rinks. So there, it was like a huge sport in my town. Everybody played roller hockey, but you know, there was a couple ice rinks around that some of the better players were going to skate, but it was a lot tougher, obviously more expensive. So I never really played competitive ice hockey, but I thought I knew everything about the sport, obviously, as a kid who loved sports and big New York Rangers fan growing up. So I used to watch the Rangers games, and Islanders games are on TV, Devils games are on TV. So there was a lot of people into the sport of hockey. So I always followed it. Definitely was a huge fan of the sport, paid a lot of attention to it. And then when I got to school at Northeastern University, I was like, all right, well, you know, I want to be in broadcasting. I want to be a sports broadcaster. And the best team there was hockey. So I already knew a lot about hockey from growing up, and it was great. You know, I totally immersed myself into media and hockey and stuff like that when I was at school. And I'm sure you guys know Alex Faust, you know, and me and Alex were really good friends. You know, a funny story, when I was a freshman, just trying to get involved and showed up at a meeting and met Alex for the first time at a student radio broadcast meeting. When we were both freshmen, and we were both like, hey, you want to be a hockey broadcaster? I want to be a hockey broadcaster. And it's like,
Yeah, exactly.
And we've been friends ever since. And we did the games together at Northeastern for like all the years that we were at school there. So
that's awesome.
It's funny how things work out. And obviously, you know, I was actually with him right around the time that he found out he got the news that he was coming here. And it was amazing. We were celebrating together. So no, him and I have been lifelong friends, and that's, you know, he's definitely a big part of my story of how I started and got involved.
That's really cool. And I want to ask before Randall jumps in, because I saw that you've done some other sports too back in your college days. So I did some play by play. I went to Brockport and did some play by play out for the D3 team there and hockey. And when I was at Morrisville before, I did some other sports. And I saw you did baseball, and I did one softball game. Is it hockey? The speed of hockey, everybody talks about how difficult it is to be a play-by-play in hockey. I found doing softball or baseball extremely difficult because it's so slow. What did you think? I saw that you did that, and I had to ask you the question because just out of curiosity, what your thoughts were in doing those different sports.
I agree with you. I think that baseball's tougher. Because if you know your players' names and you know what you're talking about in hockey, it's actually not that hard. People think it is because they don't know. If you put the preparation in and you do all the work going into it, when the puck's in play, you don't have time to even think. You just go because you've done the prep and you're ready to go. In baseball, obviously, you've got a lot of time. I think in baseball, particularly the guys who do it by themselves, are amazing, because in baseball, you want to have a conversation. You want to lean on your analyst even more. In hockey, you do use your analyst, but really not when the puck's in play. When the puck's in play, if you're the play-by-play broadcaster, it's kind of your time. In baseball, you got to utilize, you know, everybody gets a chance to jump in there and you know, your analyst has much more time to tell stories and make points and talk about different things. So I almost think about baseball almost like a good analogy of what it's like is almost like tennis too, which I grew up playing tennis as well. And, you know, when the ball is in play, again, it's like play by play guy, but really in tennis, the points are not that long. You actually have more time in between the points, and you want to use your analyst and kind of get into the intricacies of the game. Baseball, you have time to do that. Hockey, just wait till intermission. And that's when you can kind of wrap up of what's been going on in the game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody, you know, got the fire points, and you were on fire in 2019-20 with Broadcaster of the Year. Did you feel like you brought your game to another level? I mean, I know athletes feel that way and they make those points. Did you feel like you just hit a nice stride in your commentary for the South Carolina Stingrays?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it was a great year. It was amazing to be recognized. I think, you know, it was amazing to be honored. I don't know that I did anything that specific year that I didn't do other years. I think some of the biggest thing I took away from that is that was a longevity award. Even though it was an award for one season, I felt like it's an award you get after your reputation is there. You know, that was my fourth year in the league. So I felt like it was a culmination of doing enough games and having enough people be accustomed to my voice and what I was doing on a consistent basis that they would say, wow, you know, you're doing a good enough job that you'd be, you know, recognized or something like that. I don't know if it is a year by year award, but I feel like it was more of the body of my work over the past few years that had helped get me notarized like that.
Well, I mean, we all love, you know, to get notarized and everything like that. But you recently said in All the King's Men that you and Josh like to dance in the press box there, you know, whatever tunes you guys are listening to. So, you know, breaking down the music. What do you listen to? What gets you going? You know, in between periods,
I'm not picking the music. I'm just listening to whatever the arena's. But I mean, it's whatever the arena's got going on.
So you're pretty eclectic. You got the wide range, huh?
Yeah, I think for me, I try to bring and that's what we were talking about on that show is we both have energy. I think we both are trying to. And for me, you know, the broadcast is the most fun part of my job. So when the game's going on or pregame, if it's 5 o'clock before a 6 or 7 o'clock game, I'm just trying to get myself amped up, ready to go, focus, but at the same time, be loose, you know, enjoy yourself, have a good time. And so if there's music that is on, we're jamming along to it. It's just part of the whole me keeping things loose. And I'll sometimes, you know, I'll be pacing around the booth. I'll be, you know, throwing things. We're having a good time. I call everybody by nicknames and, you know, I just try to have a good time, keep everything loose and light and enjoy myself. And yeah, I like, you know, if there's music being playing, I'm dancing a little bit. He's like, you know, like we're both kind of into it. So no, I think it's just a product of keeping things loose and enjoying ourselves when we get the opportunity to be up there.
Have you got a nickname from any of the players yet? I mean, are you Shafts or?
I'm usually just Shaft. The guy. Yeah, I don't have anything too crazy yet from these guys. But, you know, like I said, we haven't been on the road together yet. That's when that's when everybody bonds a little bit more.
They are well aware that of your Twitter handle, right? Because that was a fantastic play on words, and I'm hilarious that you did that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have no idea. Actually, they have many other things going on than to watch me on Twitter. But if they are paying attention, hope they like it.
And speaking of that, I mean, speaking of the rain, we'll get into them a little bit here. 4-0-1 start. Obviously, couldn't have asked for much better. It got to be a pretty fun place, fun atmosphere to be around. I know Matt Vallalta talked about it after the last game about how it's just a fun place to be around. What's it like down there? What's the room like, the vibe? It's like I said, it's got to be pretty positive the way things have started.
Definitely. It's positive. I think that it's kind of a good balance because I don't think it's overly like the guys aren't, you know, winning one game and then going crazy. I think they have an expectation that they're going to be winning some games. And I think the other thing is their goal is to win games, no doubt. I think they want to win as many games for the rain as possible, but their ultimate goal is to make it to the NHL. And sure, I think that's a little bit different for me than in the ECHL. Guys, obviously, their goal is to get to the AHL. They want to move up, but this seems you're so much closer here. It's so much more attainable. The fact that the rain are just minutes away from where the Kings are, they share the same facility in El Segundo. In Charleston, South Carolina, you want to get up to Hershey, Pennsylvania, but it's like a 7-8 hour drive or a flight. So it's not like you're right there. And I think guys are definitely having a good time and they have a great relationship with each other. Guys are very close, but there's still some seriousness of, you know, you play well enough and you're going to be with the Kings and that's a life-changing call up. So I think there's definitely, you know, a good balance of staying loose, being positive, being happy about how the start has been, but also, hey, it's only a couple games into the season. We haven't even played one road game yet. And, you know, be serious because, you know, the ultimate goal is to get up to the NHL.
Yeah. And we're seeing right now with what's going on in Los Angeles, we've seen a couple of injuries. Obviously the defenseman, the news came out today about Doughty. He's going to be out for a significant amount of time and Walker out for the year. So you're seeing guys now come up and, you know, with Cal Clegg, Austin Strand's been up, and it looks like he'll have a chance to stay. Do you think, in your eyes, and I know you were not with the organization last year, but, you know, there's some talk about a guy like Sean Durzi. He could have been maybe one of the guys next in line. Who is maybe, if next in line, if you will, and I know it's could be left defense, right defense. It just depends on the situation. But he's a guy that I think a lot of people peg to maybe be next in line. I don't know just what your thoughts are, what's kind of what you're hearing around the organization.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything. Everyone's kind of tight-lipped. I'm just watching the games like everybody else. But so far, what I've seen is I love Jacob Moverari. And that's not to say I don't like Sean Durzi either, because yep. I just think his game's a little bit different. I think if the Kings are going to look to bring someone up, it might be Moverari first, just based on his entire body of where his game is at. I think Durzi is more similar to Clegg. So if that's why people were saying, okay, well, it's either going to be Clegg or Durzi.
Yeah.
But if Clegg is still up there and they want to bring somebody else up there, then I would think maybe it's Moverari. But I don't know. I mean, it's only his second year over here in North America. Durzi's been here for a little bit longer. He's got a little more familiarity with the organization. I don't disagree with the people who are thinking he deserves a chance. Obviously, again, you know, I saw him in rookie camp. I saw him in preseason, and now we've had five games. It's a very small sample size. I think he's been playing great for the Reign. I think his confidence level can even get to another peg up before he's ready to step into an NHL lineup on a night-by-night basis and be able to make an impact. But if he's able to get that confidence level there, then I think his raw skill set is good. I mean, he's clearly can play on the power play. Yeah. Clearly he can contribute really in all phases. But, you know, when he was up there with guys in the preseason kind of looking at him versus some of the other guys, he's a little jumpy with the puck. You know, he's got to get to that next level, and it's coming. He's definitely progressing, but I think the right move was to call up Clegg. I agree with what the Kings did today, just because what I had seen from him, he looked like he was ready to get another chance. And I know he's had his chance before, and, you know, hopefully for him, he takes advantage of it.
Well, you're putting your stamp on Moverari, so we'll drop that down. We'll put it in our record books and everything like that. Who else are you putting your stamp on? Who surprised you this year? Where do you think, you know, based on camp and the vibes that you got, who has come to the call and really put their stamp on this season so far in the first five games, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think in the preseason, the guy I was really impressed with was Samuel Fagimo. He was doing everything right. And I think he's been a little quieter in the first five games. Again, extremely small sample size, yeah. But he's got a couple goals. A couple of them have come in late situations where the game was out of hand. So the stats maybe look a little bit better than, you know, the timing of those goals weren't really as important. Although, hey, every goal is still a goal in the American League. But I really loved him during preseason. In the rookie tournament, he was one of the best forwards, him and Alex Turcotte when Turcotte was on the ice and of course, Byfield. But for a guy, everybody knows Turcotte and Byfield. I wasn't – by saying Turcotte was one of the best players, that's not really saying much because he's supposed to be there. That's the expectation for him. And I don't want to overlook him either. He's been great in the first five games. I think the line that he's on right now is amazing. So, yeah, we got Fagimo. But then the other guy I was going to say is on that line right now with Turcotte, Tyler Madden.
Yes.
To me – and I'm biased because he's a Northeastern guy, but he is there, man. Like, and I think the one thing for him is when he gets to the NHL, it's not that he's too small because there's guys his size, but I'm not sure that he's ready with his size yet. I think he needs to get bigger. I think he needs to get stronger. And I think he needs to understand how to use his size in the right way at the NHL level. But he's been outstanding, and the numbers don't really show it because he's been a little bit snake bit. But I think he's generating a ton of chances, and he's being helped out by, you know, for a lot of the year he was playing with Ferk and Tynan. Anybody who plays with Ferk and Tynan is going to get tons of chances to score. But now that he's on the line with Turcotte and Austin Wagner, those guys are flying around the ice. They're so fun to watch.
I was going to ask you, actually, I'm so glad you brought him up. I was going to ask you specifically about Madden because watching him the first five games, I was going to say, I'm going to set aside Tynan and, to your point, Ferk, because they're just on a a little bit of a different level as you know, seasoned AHL veterans. To me, the best player on the ice has been Madden. And if he hadn't been snake bit and just a little bit more puck luck, he's going to have a bundle of goals right now, either power play or 5-on-5. So the production may not reflect it, but do you sense anything with him? And I don't know if you've had a chance to get to know him at any level, but just do you sense any frustration in practice or anything like that, that something like that seeps into his game? I mean, if anything like that.
I don't think so, but I think it might have if the team wasn't 4-0 and 1. I mean, I think the ultimate end of the day is it's great that this team is so well-rounded because they're not counting on Matt. If there were pressure on him, like, well, if you don't score, Mads, we're going to be losing games. If the team wasn't that well, if the team didn't have that much depth, then I could see that being frustration. But I mean, yes, he wants to score for him individually. Again, he wants to make the NHL, but the fact that he hit two posts in one game, we won that game. So he, you know, it wasn't like he went back to the locker room being like, man, if I would have scored, we would have won. He was just like, man, I could have had 5 goals by now if the puck went in, but the team's doing great. So there's no extra pressure on any one player. It's been such a balance, especially for the forwards. It's been so balanced, and that's such a great way, like, maybe TJ Tynan's taking on all the extra pressure because he's got 6 assists. He's setting up goals left impressive. And right. Yeah, he's amazing. He's but no, I don't think there's any pressure on any one forward. And that's the same thing with Austin Wagner. Like, first couple games, he was getting a ton of chances too. He was doing all the right things, and he's done that at the NHL level. And sometimes he just gets, you know, he just can't finish in front of the net. But, you know, the last couple games he has been able to, and it's like a weight coming off his shoulders. And I think for those guys up front, as long as everyone's giving their best effort, the chances are going to come. Somebody's going to bury. It's just, you know, I would think it's too early in the season for anybody to be that frustrated when you've got this many wins.
Yeah. I want to swing it across the crease here and talk about Robo a little bit. And I know last year was his first year, you know, making the jump to the next level of competition in his career. And then also being a COVID year, having all those distractions and everything like that, and getting to know all these young pros, right? A lot of the pros were their first year on the ice. Do you feel like a sense of calm or positivity from Robo this year, to where he knows kind of what is going on and he's not surprised by this level of competition?
I think for sure he's got positivity. He's a very upbeat, lively person. I mean, you guys know, if you follow the team, he's so fun to cover because he wears his heart on his sleeve. After a game, win or lose, he's telling you exactly what you want. And I gotta, like, sometimes,
well, I like role, his I like his music choice too, right? Hair metal, he's got the 80s metal going on all the time, the right?
Yeah, and after the game's over, again, like, win or lose, he's fired up. Like, I'll go down to the locker room to try to grab him for an interview, and he's like, let's go. Like, the game's been over for 4 minutes. Most coaches, you got to give him a cooling off period. You got to give him collect their thoughts. And like, he's like sprinting down the hallway. Like, where's Shaft? Let's go. We got to, like, let's go. Like, I'm ready to go. I want to talk about it. I want to, you know, it's almost like a venting for him to get out his thoughts of, and maybe, you know what, maybe it's, he wants to go over the game with the coaches and start looking at the video. And, you know, there's so much to look at with our team. We have so many prospects. There are so many guys doing good things. So maybe it's just that he wants to get the thing out of the way, but he's amped, man. He's got just a very good energy about him. He's not overly positive, but he's not overly negative either. Like, he's just very, it's funny. He's got that energy, but he's even keeled at the same time. Like, he's never too high or too low, but he's always energetic. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know what he did last year. And I have a feeling he was the same way. It's just that we got 19 guys returning. So they know what he's going to do. They can read into, you know, he's got a great relationship with everybody on the roster. Everybody knows where they stand. If anybody needs anything, they feel comfortable having a conversation with him. He takes guys aside, you know, on the ice during practice to make sure they know what they need. And then off the ice, like, he's not in the locker room, like, when guys are getting ready, just chatting it up, but you know, he strolls through to grab a coffee and he's talking to guys about, like you said, music choices and, you know, what are you guys, where are you guys going to eat later? Oh yeah, it's a good spot. You know, he just keeps it light in the room and doesn't try to grab guys and talk about hockey. If he sees somebody walking by, he's asking them, how's your family? You know, what are you doing? Where are you going to eat? Like he keeps it light. And then once he's on the ice for practice, it's dude, your gap control. It's, you know, he's getting into that nitty gritty of the X's and O's, but he doesn't really do that too much in just, you know, kind of just talking around. He's just a really normal guy.
We've seen him, you know, jumble the lines here early in the season. I suppose that's probably to be expected. He's still, despite he's got a lot of returning guys, he's trying to find the right combination, I would imagine, to see what is the combo that's going to click. Is that kind of the vibe or the sense that you maybe are seeing, be it in practice or whatnot, that, you know, he's still trying to find what's going to work in certain scenarios, be it power play, penalty kill, and trying to find just the right pieces in the right spots?
I think that's a little bit of it. But I think the other thing is, I mean, there's so many guys that need ice time. And I think, you know, even a good example, you know, Jared Anderson Dolan is playing a lot of third line center, and like he's still young, he's still a prospect, a guy that the Kings want him on the ice, the Kings want him developing. So I think, you know, despite the fact that, you know, you might see him in that role for a little bit, if he's playing well and earning minutes, like Robo's going to try to get him up. But you know what? Well, we got Tynan and Turcotte, so you got to get those guys messed up. I think it's part of a little bit of a juggling act of he wants to make sure that everybody is getting the chance to develop, and that's not easy because you have so many high-end players that need that good ice time. So I think the lines juggling around is a little bit of just trying to give all the players as much ice time as possible. And not just rolling the same couple guys. Like, we have a lot of players that need to see the ice and need to get a chance.
Yeah, so, you know, we're talking, you know, going from the coaching back to the players, and obviously you're going to be on the road here very soon with all those players. Who do you feel has stepped up in maybe a leadership role? Maybe, and then the locker room is a careful balance. So where's the jokesters coming from? Who's the guys keeping it loose and still coming up to play during the game? Like, where's the balance coming from in the locker room, in your opinion, so far?
Yeah, well, obviously it starts with Brett Sutter. He's been around forever. So much respect for him in that room. He says anything, everyone takes it to heart. He's the leader through and through. On D, Cameron Gauntz is the veteran there, and he's a guy that has a good leadership quality. He's not trying to overtake Sutter by any chance, by any stretch, but he's definitely a guy who people feel comfortable talking to, especially the young guys like Spence, Dursey, Phillips. If they have questions, they need anything, Gauntz is a really good, and you know, Dursey as well. I think Dursey stepped up as a leader on this team. He's a guy who everyone is familiar with. He's been with the organization for a while now, and you know, he's just an easy person to talk to. He's just a good person, and you know, he goes out of his way to make sure everybody feels comfortable. As far as the jokesters in the room, probably got to go with Aiden Dudas and Tyler Madden. Those guys, they're really good friends. They're always giving everybody a hard time. Can throw Turcotte in there as well. He's got a locker near them at TSPC, and they're kind of the young group that's having a good time and giving everybody a hard time a little bit. I don't think there's anything too crazy going on with the jokes right now. I think there's still, you know, like I said, a little bit of a feeling out, and guys are trying to be serious and take things seriously, and they don't want to get a rap for being too much of a jokester. But again, we'll see. We go on road, maybe some other guys will emerge out of that. But I think, you know, Dudas is somebody who's always having a good time and laughing it up with everybody.
You know, you mentioned one of the young defensemen, Spence, and there's another one in Helge Granz. He's really kind of hit the ground running. He's only played the two games so far, but boy, this last game especially, it seemed to be he was extremely comfortable on the puck, probably as comfortable as I've seen him dating back to the camps and such with some of the scrimmages. Just what are some of your early thoughts on Helge Granz?
Yeah, his jump from game one to game two was really noticeable, and it was almost unfair. Like, after his first game, people were asking me, oh, how's Granz look? I'm like, dude, the guy's first game. Like, this is a long season. You can't – and he's 19 years old. He's the youngest player on the team. Yeah. He's probably one of the youngest players in the whole league. So my expectations for him is just he needs a good 20, 30 games before I start judging how he's playing and when he's going to be ready and things like that. But I did, like I said, really notice that game two, he took a big step. And now with injuries in LA and call-ups, he's going to be getting some more minutes, and he's, you know, hopefully going to earn that. But yeah, he's, you know, it was just, again, with the timing and things, it was a little tough just to get everybody in the lineup the first couple of games. But Austin Strand goes up, Cale Clay goes up. Yep. All of a sudden, you know, Spence and Granz are going to be right away thrown into the mix. And, you know, I'm interested to see how they play this weekend. It's their first road trip, a little bit of a, you know, lengthy flight tomorrow to go up to Vancouver. And Abbotsford, you guys saw the results in those two games. Like, they're probably the best team we've played so far. So they look good, and they're no slouch. They're a big addition to this division, and they look pretty strong, although they did lose a couple guys to call-ups as well. So we'll see how that affects things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny you said about Granz. Rando and I, we talked about it, that the expectations this year for, you know, a kid coming over his first run through in North America as a rookie, such a young player, that, you know, the expectation should be, let's just get through this season, see how he develops, and we'll really get into some, you know, hardcore expectations maybe in as he approaches later this season or into year two. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about the goaltending. You know, it was an issue for the Rain in the past, especially last year, but so far so good, no matter who's been in net, and particularly Vallalta's look great.
I'm a firm believer that goaltending, of course, you need your goalie to be on their game, but it is not a one-person thing. Like, and I feel this way, and again, I didn't watch the Rain games all last year. Obviously, I've seen bits and pieces, but to me, Vallalta has been successful because of the team in front of him. We are not getting pinned into our own zone. We're not getting beat that many times. I mean, yeah, there's going to be some grade A chances that those are going to happen, but it's not that the team is just collapsing. Like, there's a good structure in front of him, which helps so much. And if you have a goalie that's locked in, seeing the puck well, and then there's a good system in front of him, and he can rely on the defense and the forwards to make good plays and not allow grade A chances right in front of the net, then you've got a good chance of having a goalie that's going to be able to handle that. So I don't know what it was like in the past, but I know this team was a lot younger and they didn't have as much experience. So my guess was it looked bad for Vallalta because there's so many grade A chances coming his way. And you got young guys that are learning, that are making mistakes, and it ends up in the back of the net. And you look at the numbers and you're like, man, what happened here? But, you know, to me so far, Vallalta's been excellent. Sparks only had one start. He looked great in that start. He's obviously a much more proven guy at this level. He's closing in on his 100th AHL win, which is really impressive for a goalie in this league. And, you know, I think it's been great, and it's definitely something we want to keep our eye on. And yeah, if you have a goalie that's not playing well, it really just hurts the momentum. If your guys are playing well and you're only giving up a few shots and those are going in, man, that's rough. But I get the sense that, you know, as long as the rest of the team does their job, the goalies are going to be fine. And if you keep the puck away from your own end, that's the best defense, right? A good offense is the best defense.
Well, I want to piggyback on that. And then how do you feel like Sparks is doing in a leadership role to help Vallalta? And by that standpoint, Ingham, who was there for the start of the season, maybe because of injury standpoint with Sparks, but how do you feel like he's done as a veteran in the league and catering to the development of the young goalies?
I think he's been excellent. I think that he's got a good balance. He's not annoying Vallalta and Ingham of trying to tell them what to do. He does his own thing. He's got enough things to take care of himself. But if he needs to say something, if they ask him, he's got a wealth of experience and he can provide that leadership. And, you know, he'll jump in and say something when necessary, but he's not over the top trying to tell Matty V what to do. Matty's very confident in his own right. So it's a good relationship. They're rooting for each other. They're clearly at a different stage in their careers, which I think helps. And, you know, I think as a management staff, you gotta make sure before you sign a guy like Garrett Sparks that he knows what his role is. You know, maybe if the Kings need a spot start and Vallalta's not ready, he's got to be ready to go. But he might not get the most starts in Ontario because they're trying to develop Vallalta and get him to where Sparks is. So it's definitely a little bit of a tricky balance. You got to keep Sparks sharp, but you also want to develop Vallalta. So far, it's very small sample size. But, you know, I think Sparks, he knew what he signed up for. I think to me, as somebody who was in the ECHL for 5 years, the fact that last year – the season started, it was so wacky with everything with COVID, and he was willing to go down to the ECHL, a guy who's been in the NHL, who's won in the AHL, and start last year in Orlando. And I saw him in a few games because they played against the Stingrays. And he was obviously dominant at that level. But the fact that he was willing to say, no, my career's not over. If I just go have some good starts in the ECHL level, then I'll get a chance. And sure enough, he played really well with Orlando, and Stockton called him up right away. And then he stuck there, and he got an AHL deal, and he stayed there. Now he's got another AHL deal here with Ontario. And I think that shows the maturity of a guy who's not just going to pout and say, no, you know, I'm too good for that level. He recognized that, you know, that's something he needed to do. He did it. He exceeded, he excelled, and then he went up and had a great year with Stockton. So that was a great sign. And I'm sure a management staff sees that and says, you know what? Yeah, this is the kind of guy we need in our locker room.
Yeah, I want to go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, I want to, you know, we appreciate you hopping on. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I do want to say you have a new podcast that just has come back out, The Rain Check. If you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, appreciate you guys letting me plug. You know, The Rain Check is not new because they had that last year, but yep. Obviously last year was, you know, again, like I just said, it was such a wacky season. There wasn't really somebody covering the Rain like I am. So they were just getting by and getting some player interviews. And, you know, I had a podcast with the Stingrays that I really love doing. And I'm excited that we're going to be able to do that with the Rain. And I'm hoping to get some different players on throughout the season. We started out with general manager Richard Seely, which is great info. Just came out today. So if anybody hasn't tuned in yet, it's just dropped. We just got our new logo on the podcast site too. When it came out earlier today, the Kings released it, and it was the old logo and had Mikey Asimont still on it. I'm like, man, we got to get this updated. Like, let's go. So we got a new logo, which is good. And you know, excited to talk to some players, obviously Robo at some point and the rest of the coaching staff. I like to have, you know, our equipment manager on, trainers, try to get people around the team to give some inside stories and looks at these guys and help the fans get to know the group. And obviously, you know, for both Rain fans and Kings fans who want to try to hear from the guys that are going to make it next. I think the team is going to be really heavy into the Movember this year. They got a couple guys led by Martin Ferg, who's got a phenomenal mustache already.
Turcotte's been growing his mustache since last year.
Yeah, Turcotte.
it's really coming in.
At least it's better than Artie Kaliev. He's been trying pretty hard too, and not really getting anywhere. The guys were giving him some flack in Arizona because he hadn't shaved in a while, and the guys were like, Artie, man, that's rough. And he was like, I like it. I'm keeping it. Screw you. But yeah. So you know, the next episode two is going to be next week, and we're going to do some Movember talk with the guys about mustaches. Right. But yeah, first episode with Rich Seely just came out, and it's going to be fun. I'm going to have a good time with it.
Well, I want to end us on this note because, like I said, we don't want to keep you that long. But you know, where do you envision this season going for your career and with the Rain? Like, what do you want to see happen? And not only, you know, like I said, with the players, but with you, and what would be a successful season in your mind as far as your new experience with this team?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this has been amazing so far. I'm having a great time. You know, anytime your team starts with this many wins, it's going to be much easier. Guys are like we talked about, loose and having a good time in the room. So for me, you know, I just enjoy being around the sport. I enjoyed being at the lower levels. When I was down the lower levels, I never complained. But now that I'm here, it's totally awesome. Like, I'm loving it. So I'm just thankful that I'm here and I'm in this role, and I'm just going to try to do as much as I possibly can to keep the fans informed, keep our content fresh, and give as much insight into what's going on as I can. I'm going to be on most of the road trips. I know we're not broadcasting all the road games, but you know, for example, this weekend in Abbotsford, I'll be there. We're not doing the games on the air, but there's still a lot of content that we're going to bring and try to keep everybody in the know. There's going to be some interviews and hopefully some behind the scenes features that happen throughout the season that guys can, you know, everybody who's on the team can kind of show their personality, and the fans can interact. We still can't do that many meet and greets and things in person. So I feel like my role right now is really important. And, you know, I'm always down for suggestions. If anybody, you know, who's a big fan of the team wants to hear something or wants me to do something with a player or anything like that, I'm definitely open to have suggestions. Also, same thing with the podcast. Like if people want to hear from certain players, you know, happy to try to make that happen. And, you know, for me, a successful season would just be, you know, engaging everybody and having a good time. And, you know, if the team can go on a nice run and we have some success, that's an awesome bonus, you know, from a PR standpoint. Anytime you're having a great year and winning a lot of games and making a playoff run, you know, there's more eyes on your players, more eyes on your content. So that's a good thing. And, you know, I'm just excited to be here and be a part of this organization. They've treated me so well so far. And it's like I said, can't complain. We haven't lost the game regulation, so it's all good.
Well, hopefully we keep up that streak that are going on. Jared said it first. And you know, hey, I really appreciate you coming on, Joe and I both. And, you know, we really want the rain to succeed this year and the content to be there. We know the players are there. We know the content's there. And we know the team has all it can to put a good season together. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. Joe, you want anything to say before we sound off here?
The only thing I'm going to say is I know you talked about the energy and having energy and having fun. And I'm just going to say that you and Josh, it comes through on the broadcast. They sound great. You guys do a heck of a job covering it. So it definitely comes through that you guys really enjoy what you do. So much appreciated.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks guys for having me. Thanks for following along. And like I said, it's going to be awesome season. I'm thrilled to be here and you know, good luck with this podcast. I hope you guys continue to keep going and keep covering the team. It's great to be on.
Absolutely. Best of luck this season.
We'll be here if you're here. Yeah. All right, Rain fans. There you go. That was the interview with Jared Schaffrin. What a wonderful interview, Joe. How do you, what do you think about that in a broad stroke?
It was great, first of all, and I want to thank Jared for coming on. And, you know, I could tell on the broadcast that he's just an energetic guy and he just loves what he does. And I think that really seeped through in that interview. So he was great to talk to, that's for sure.
Yeah, with the rain season being 4-0-1, I mean, the players' spirits are high. I mean, you could tell that he just loves being there. He's riding this wave here and you know, he takes pride in what he does, but he wants the team to succeed. And for fans, he wants the content to be great. As you said at the end of the interview, he hopes the season comes with great content for all of us hockey fans here in LA and around the world who love the Kings and Ontario Reign. And, you know, it was a pleasure to talk to him.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's all we're trying to do. I mean, we're doing this here at Hockey Royalty, whether we're writing or whether we're doing podcasts, because, you know, we have a passion for it and we have a passion for the Kings and the organization and the Ontario Reign. So hopefully, you know, we know that he and Dooley and the insiders do give great coverage. And we hope to just do a little bit of that ourselves. That's for sure.
So part of the coverage coming up this week is transactions there. And one of our goalies there, Jacob Eamon, got sent to the ECHL team of choice of mine with the Swamp Rabbits. And I saw the pitcher there. Their jerseys are even more on point. So again, I don't know how many times I have to ask, you know, and I'm sure that every Swamp Rabbit executive listens to this podcast, but homeboy needs a jersey here soon. And Jacob Eamon, if you could send me a jersey, that'd be fantastic because man, those jerseys on point, the name's on point, man. If I was in that neck of the woods, I'd be at every single game.
Yeah, somebody needs to. And like you said, I'm sure they're listening. They have to get us on one. That's for sure. And you need one with you've said it before. You need an Ingham Swamp Rabbits jersey or T-shirt jersey, whatever it's called. That you got to get something. They should throw something your way.
Hey, I'll take you some goalie shorts. I mean, I don't know how often I would wear those around the house, but you know, some padding, you know, walking around, it could be comfortable.
Yeah, and listen, the Swamp Rabbits get a lot of publicity from Brandon McMahon. That's for sure. Probably more than they usually would, and elsewhere outside of where they are. So
yeah.
But no, Ingham, he played the one game for the Reign. Listen, he played really well. He made all three save three. Well, I say all three. He stopped the first three in the shootout before, you know, he only gave up one goal. It wasn't enough to win the game, but he played very well in his lone start with the Reign this season. So, you know, we talked about this, I think, where they'd start maybe with three goalies for at least the short term. But it's probably tough to carry three. So, and you want a guy like Ingham to get some ice. So I think that's a good fit for him.
Yeah, we like you said, we talked about it a little bit, and it happened to be because of injury. We didn't really know Sparks was injured until the first game of the season, you know, dealing with a little thing. So that's why Ingham was on the bench. But, you know, he was serviceable. He was there. He did really well. But you want him to get as many pucks seen as possible, and he's not going to get that in the Reign playing every once in a while and not even being on the ice, you know, and Sparks being the veteran and having that relationship with Peralta is going to be what the Reign need. And it's good to know that if, you know, future injuries were to happen or call-ups to the Kings were to happen, that that Ingham is going to be able to be a serviceable goalie there. So, you know, speaking of injuries, we have Doughty Walker out for multiple weeks, Walker out for the entire season. Doughty's going to be up in the air. You know, everybody says 6 to 8 here, but who knows with that kind of thing, we want him to be 100% healthy. Yeah. So with that being in mind, they brought up Clegg. He was at practice today. Obviously they have Mata as the seventh defenseman playing there. A lot of guys playing on their offhand. Let's start with guys that the guy that they did bring up in Clegg and what he brings to the team, and how he could be used on the right side of the defense.
He is such a smooth, he's just a smooth skater back from the back end. He makes a good first pass. And I think that's probably the first and foremost, the biggest thing that he can do is he can start that transition from D to offense. He doesn't panic with the puck. He's always a guy that's going to look to make a play. He's not just going to, you know, put his head down and wrap it off the wall or anything like that, or go off the glass. He's going to try to make a play. And I think that bodes well for what the Kings are going to try to do. I mean, you have lost Doughty, who's obviously, you know, a very good puck mover, and Walker's had a really good start to the season. And that, man, that sucks. He's really looked good, and I was excited to watch him this season. So it's a tough, tough break for him. I feel for him, especially just, you know, given the start he had. But so Clegg is going to be a guy that I think he is certainly capable, again, of moving pucks, but he can play a power play. He can be out there on either unit, and he's done it.
And he should be there.
Listen, I don't mean to, no disrespect to Matt Roy, but I don't think he or Edler at this stage of his career, I don't know. I would rather see Clegg out there on at least one of those units.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And it's like, you know, it's not disrespect, but it's real. It's realistic. You know, they didn't bring Roy in to be an offensive juggernaut. He's a defensive staple, and he's there because he's reliable. He's not because he's good at what he does on the power play. So, and this team doesn't have five wins. This team doesn't have 10 points. We're struggling to score goals, and you put your best offensive players in there. And for them, it's KO Clegg. So he should be on the power play, at least with the first or second team.
I would agree. And, you know, it's funny because he was waived at the start of the season, and there was a little bit of hesitancy. Is somebody going to claim him? He goes through. And, you know, he's up, unfortunately, due to injury. But you wonder if this is his opportunity. You know, he was a guy that people were surprised that they sent down. Maybe people thought he was going to make the team. I know I was somebody that was a proponent of him making the team. I think Ryan over does some writing for us at Hockey Royalty. You know, the big dog at Hockey Royalty, I should say, doesn't even say does some. He is the guy at Hockey Royalty, Ryan Sykes. And he had an article early in this or late in the summer about how he's thinking this is a big potential breakout year for Cale Clegg. It's unfortunate circumstances, but this is an opportunity for him. And hopefully he gets a good run. They get him in some good opportunities and get him on the power play. And hopefully he takes advantage of it.
So just for you fans, so you know, he already cleared waivers. So when he's gotten brought up here, he's got 10 games or a month on the team before he has to clear waivers again. So he's going to have time to show his worth, to show what he's got. But if you look at both injuries, they're both longer than a month. So if he's going to stay up here, he's definitely going to get a chance to show what he's gotten. And Cale deserves it. I mean, you talked about it last year. You know, his Corsi was over 50% every time he was on the ice. He drives the offense, and he's a very good puck mover on the power play. So, you know, you're looking at somebody who could make an impact, especially on special teams, which we need it. Now, you and I were proponents of bringing up Jersey. We'll go across him, and then maybe the two rookies that might have been brought up. I thought Jersey was a guy because they needed right side, right? Two right side guys went down. He's a good puck mover. He'll help on the power play. He has the most AHL experience. You know, I thought that maybe he would get a shot. I really like the way he's been playing. His basic statistical numbers aren't as high as Clegg, but I thought he's been playing very well. And he shows that leadership quality, which now with both Roy and Doughty out, it's Edler who yeah, he has leadership in years, but he has doesn't have leadership in years on the team. So we need a guy that's been in the locker room a while, and Dursey has done that.
Well, you know, what I was looking at it too was I just feel like this team needs an injection of offense. And I think Clay can do that too, but Dursey brings that style of play, the way he skates and his hands and his release. You know, he can certainly run a power play. Again, I think he could run a power play as good as anybody that's up in Los Angeles right now in the back end. And just because it was the two right side Ds that went down, I thought that he maybe had the best chance, but it's hard. You know, they've always viewed a guy like Cale Clegg who can play the both left and right side. So, and I'm curious to see what they go with the pairings today in practice. Per Dooley, the LA Kings insider, it was Bjornfoot with Anderson, Mata, Roy, Edler, Strand, and Clegg was the extra. So we'll see how Clegg slots in, if he ends up with the extra in the first game that they play, and when they decide to get him in. But, you know, and with Dursey, you wouldn't want him to be in that spot either, where he's kind of the extra. I'd rather Dursey be getting ice if that's the case. Clegg, I think, is at the point of his career where, you know, it's not going to kill him to not get the ice time, I think, where Dursey probably needs just a bit more. And you heard Jared talk about that too with Dursey, how he just needs a little bit more confidence with the puck. A bit jumpy at times over the summer. So if that's something that just is going to come with a bit more time, that Clegg is a bit more comfortable out there with that.
Yeah. You know, it's just going to be there. And you know, I really wasn't a fan of sitting Strand his first game and playing Mata. Like, those guys have played there before, and let's just throw him up there. And Clegg's played games in the NHL, and just bring him up and throw him in if he's the best guy there. So, you know, obviously with our team needing offense, I'm a proponent of throwing him in, and let's not let him get a cushion in there. Let's let him earn his stripes, and we'll see how that goes. You know, speaking of earning stripes, now Spence and Granz, the other two guys on the right side, are going to have a big proponent of the team. And then Rivar is going to get bigger minutes because Clegg is gone. So with those three guys, what would you like to see of them on this road trip? Obviously, we're playing Abbotsford for two games this weekend, and Henderson on Wednesday. So what do you want to see from them, given the bigger opportunity?
Well, for Mavarari, just more of the same. Well, I mean, he came on the scene last year, and he's been steady Eddie, but it's like he's steady, but he's doing it at both ends of the ice. Like, he's producing too. So I just, more of the same from him. For Granz, as you heard in the interview with Jared, and we've talked about this with Helgi before, it's this season, I don't care about his production. I don't care so much about the numbers. I just want him to get settled in. And Jared mentioned, it's probably going to take a solid 20 to 30 games. He's a 19-year-old playing North America for the first time at the AHL level, getting used to a different rink size. So I just want to see him get more comfortable, gain confidence with the puck, be more comfortable in his defensive zone, through the neutral zone. I trust he's confident in the offensive zone and going forward, but that's all I'm looking for from him. Nothing. My expectations, I'm keeping very, very just kind of tempered here, because you have to. He's such a young player in a new country, new league, that I think it's not fair to put too much on him. With Spence, I think he's looked really good at the start of the season. I think his defensive game, his D-zone game, is going to be a work in progress. So I think that's all I'm looking for on a game-by-game basis, is how is he in the defensive zone? Is he making sure he's not missing assignments? Because, listen, I think in the offensive zone and the way he skates the neutral zone, there's no questions there. There's no doubts there. He's very exciting going forward, but it's just, you know, honing in his own zone. And so that's all I'm looking for. I would just try to keep it simple with a guy like Spence, is continue doing what he does well, but I want to see him just continue to get more comfortable and develop on the back end.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, and not only this weekend, but going forward, because you know, Walker's out for the season. Doughty has a specific timeline, but who knows? I mean, you know, with those kind of injuries, you want him to be 100% healthy. You don't want to rush him back and everything like that. And if those two players or multiple players are playing well coming into season, you know, we might see a cup of coffee for Granz. We might see a cup of coffee for Spence rotating in there in the end of season. If they take over that position, they might be staples, you know, in their own right with the LA Kings. So, you know, I don't want to throw, like you said, don't want to throw too much pressure on them, but they all have the potential to do that and take that next step with the Ontario Reign to have that impact with the LA Kings if they were to get that shot. And with the injuries, they might get that shot. So obviously it's been a great episode there, Joe. Phenomenal guest. Thank you again for Jared Schaffer to come on here, Ontario Reign Insider. As always, this is the Make It a Reign podcast. We got hockeyroyalty.com articles coming out every single day. You can find us at hockey_pod and then you can find where are you at, Joe?
At JW Paterino.
And I'm at RandoCommando24 on the Twitsky. So again, Joe, you and I can talk another 2 hours, as we say every week. Eventually, we're going to be able to do that. Ryan will let us eventually do a 3-hour podcast, but we're under quick reins to keep it to a time limit here. And so we're going to do just that. Again, 10:29 and 10:30 Abbotsford River Canucks and 11:03 Henderson Silver Knights, beginning of the road trip here. Hopefully the rain can keep it hot. Thank you, Joe, for everything that you do for us, man, and talk to you soon.
Go, Ringo.